All right. Happy Friday, everybody. It is time for another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today's a good one because we have a fellow mobile home park investor with us. I love talking mobile homes. And we got Caleb with us, Caleb Landon from Landon Capital Group. They invest in mobile home parks, and that's what we're here to talk about. So, Caleb, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Right on. I told you right before we got on here, we like stories. So, take us to the beginning of your real estate story. How'd you get started?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my family was always kind of involved with real estate. My grandpa was kind of the big real estate guy. He had properties around California. And so I was always, I guess, taught up or brought up in a way that I kind of knew what real estate was, the cap rates and kind of the market, interest rates, things like that. And so when I was in high school, I got a job at a property management firm, and it was out in Cameron Park, which is about 30 minutes away from me. And I learned the whole property management side. It was a very interesting business. I learned how to deal with tenants, learned how to deal with bills, stuff like that. And I leveraged that as a way to basically
what were you managing? What type of property were you managing?
They do everything. So they do industrial, residential, commercial. It was an all over encompassing property management firm. And I was mostly on the financial side of that. I wasn't really the day-to-day property manager, but it was a small company. I was kind of moving around as the intern. So it was great. I learned quite a bit there. So I was really glad I had that opportunity. And then while I was there, I had an offer from one of the top five mobile home park syndicators in the US. My grandpa actually knew one of the, I guess, higher ups of that company. And so he used that as a way for me to get an interview. I interviewed and I actually joined the company as a stock manager for the owner. And so he had a bunch of cash on hand. And so I would manage his stock portfolio. I was basically a financial advisor without being licensed as a financial advisor. And so I would just research stocks for 8 hours a day and recommend stocks to him. And I mean, we did pretty well, I would say. I mean, quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was your return over the period?
It was pretty good. I mean, we started investing in 2021. I mean, we were up during the whole downturn. And then, I mean, the big one I told him to buy was Meta. And obviously that paid off. So, yeah, that was our main one. And then I eventually transitioned from the stock side into the mobile home park side of the business on the acquisitions team. And so I was in the acquisitions team. I was learning, I guess, 8 hours a day of the mobile home park side. And it's from top to bottom. I learned how to handle tenants. I also used my property management skills. And then I would basically just do performas for a few hours a day. That was my main job, was doing performas for all these deals. And so they would send me over potential deals. I'd underwrite them and then, yeah, recommend a property to buy.
Right on. And so since then, you were working with a syndicator. Since then, you've done your own syndications with mobile home parks, right?
Correct. Yeah. So I was with that firm for about 2 years, and I felt like I learned all that I could learn at that firm. And there's a few things that I thought I could do better. I can get into a little later, but there's a few management styles that I do that's a lot different from what they did. And so I left that company back in April of last year and then started Landon Capital Group. And so far we have three properties bought. We're probably going to be buying, I'd say probably close to five this year. We have 80 lots right now. We're probably going to get up to at least 250 by the end of the year.
Perfect. I love it. So you're fresh into the field. So you got all that wisdom is right on the top of your head. So great. Let's just dive into mobile homes. Let's talk about the first deal you bought.
Great.
You mentioned that your management style was different. So what is that style and how did you apply it when you first bought that first deal?
Yeah. So the main reason why I left that previous company to start my own was that they had all of their management based in California. So they're paying a California salary, they're paying California taxes, insurance, stuff like that. And it's just way too costly. And so what I did was I met with my uncle who has a property management business and I talked with him. I met with a few agencies in Latin America and I basically figured out that you could offshore all of your management to Latin American countries or Indonesia for between $6 and $12 an hour. And so I could reduce our management costs by 40 to 60% per deal. This means more money back to the investor. And so my big thing to the investor is I know I'm a little newer. I know I don't have as big of a track record, but I can get you about 2 or 3% higher returns than these other syndicators. And I have the performance to show it. I have the comps to show it. I have everything to show it. So that's kind of our differentiation from all the other syndicators out there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love using, international VAs or just building your team internationally. We use a lot of them. I have not used them for property management yet. I don't see why. The biggest issue I feel like would be, well, time zones for one, but you know, they can get over that. And then just not understanding how to work in the local area, not understanding, you know, the small things like the customs and what people expect in terms of communication and all that stuff. So what has been the struggle that you have found when you've tried to bring somebody internationally on to manage your parks?
Yeah, I would say there is a little bit of like a cultural difference that you kind of have to get over, but you'll find people that have already been property managers for 10 years for a different company in the US. And so you'll hire them. They're perfect. I mean, it's phenomenal. And what's great about Mexico is that in Mexico, they speak Spanish and English. And so you get a lot of people in mobile home parks who speak primarily Spanish. And so you have a person that could translate for you. Mexico City is in a time zone for two of our parks. And so
I was going to say Mexico is good because it's like, it's central,
it's right there.
Central US, right?
Mm-hmm. And so you have people in your time zone speaking Spanish and English. They're great workers and you're paying them, I think right now, about $8 an hour. So, and they don't touch any of the money. That's the one thing you don't let them do. So they can't ever steal from us, but they could do all the leasing, the vending or the vendor management, the tenant complaints, issues like that, which is simple.
So that's interesting. Do you also have them do, because a big time suck is construction management, and anytime you want to build out on your park, that can take a lot of time from the investor just managing the person who's managing the contractors.
Yeah.
Do they do that as well? Do you feel like they have the expertise for that?
For small issues, like if a pipe breaks, what I have them do is call three vendors and then they will get me the best quote and present it to me, and then I'll take over from there. But I am currently looking for a operations manager or a construction manager who will take over a lot of that side of things. But I'm probably going to have a US-based one for that. I just don't like having people overseas touching money. So we'll see.
So when they're managing, I'm just thinking, they must see you. Do you use like Buildium, AppFolio, something like that?
We use DoorLoop, and it has the accounting, everything built in there, and it works great so far. It's been going good. So,
and the property managers have no issue integrating with that?
No, a lot of them have used QuickBooks and AppFolio, and so they, it's very similar to it. It's just a different color scheme pretty much. So it does take about a week for them to get used to it, but
nice. Well, cool, man. I love that. And so Mexico seems like a big one for you. Have you, we've actually really been up on Egypt recently. We just hired a few
Gold
callers from Egypt just because they have, you know, they're educated. They have an accent that is almost indistinguishable from ours in when they speak English. And so we really enjoy working with them. Have you only looked at Mexico? Do you only work in the time zones that are in the US, or have you looked externally to that?
I've looked at Indonesia. Their accent, though, is a lot stronger. And it's just a different cultural. It's a lot different than the US to Mexico and Indonesia. I've not had a need to go outside of Mexico. I mean, the cost for a worker in Indonesia is maybe a dollar or two less an hour. So, I mean, there is an advantage there, but it's really not worth it at this stage to, I guess, expand out to that region.
Makes sense.
Cool.
And so how do you find your managers?
So we have an agency in Mexico that we work with, and they basically handle all the hiring. If we don't like the person, they find me a new one. They do all the payroll, all the taxes, all that stuff. So we just cut them a flat check for hourly rate, and they do everything else.
Do you want to give them a shout out?
I can, but I also am kind of switching between them, so maybe I don't want to give it right now. But
I always like it. If you have a good contractor and you want, you know, you feel like they deserve more work, it's good.
Soon, maybe a few weeks, I will. But
That's fine. That's fine. Right on, man. So let's go back to the deals that you have bought. Tell us about how you found them, and then the underwriting that you did to ensure the deal works out.
Yeah, so I have a network of brokers. So that's kind of the main way I get these deals. Also, Crexy and LoopNet; those are two big ones. I've also found Crexy that
that's cool.
Yeah, well, I've talked with a few investors, and they're always hesitant to buy off those sites just because they're like the bottom of the barrel type deals a lot of the time. Yeah. But I've noticed a lot of the brokers I work with don't even give it a chance with investors first, like me. They just go straight to market on like Crexy. And so obviously there is some bottom of the barrel parks on there, but I do a pretty good due diligence process. And we have a performa that we use, and it's very stress resistant. I mean, we have a 5-year performa, a 30-year performa, and our goal is to get out in 5 years, refinance, buy the next property. We bought two deals from Crexy and then one deal from a broker but the broker who got me the second deal on Crexie was the same one who got me the one on, I guess, the private one. So yeah, they just tend to list it immediately. So
yeah. Yeah. The thing I hate about like listed deals is a lot of the brokers, they just don't write the pro forma correctly. And they'll like include park owned home rent in the NOI and just all this stuff.
I just completely disregard it. I just do my own. It's not even worth looking at it. So
Right on. So you bought three. For the underwriting, what is making the deal work for you? Are you buying properties that are mismanaged? Are you buying properties that you see an expansion potential? What is the play that you're looking at?
We want mismanagement, infill opportunities, lot rents being able to be raised. All the deals we've bought are generally the cheapest lot rents in town. They have high vacancy. It's been mom and pops. I mean, the one we just bought in Iowa, that was in December. It was 32 lots and 26 vacant. And lot rents were $249. And so
pretty cheap.
We came in there. And just since December, we've gotten five new people to move in. They're paying $335 a month. And all we have to do for our pro forma to pretty much triple our money is bring in four homes a year. So it's really not that difficult. We don't rely on appreciation at all, like of the property itself. It's all things we could control, like vacancy and rent increases. And I mean, rents in that town are up to $470 a month. The lowest one's $350. So at $335, we're still the cheapest in the town, basically hitting our performer right there. So
cool.
That's great. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the next, you mentioned this year, you're trying to buy five additional parks.
Around five.
Yeah. What are, you know, going from three to five, there's going to be a little bit of growing pains. What are you looking for? You know, have you already calculated this into your operations? What are you planning to do in order to accommodate the additional tenants that are going to be in the portfolio?
Yeah, one piece of advice I got from a lot of people who have done this before is don't grow too fast. And so I want to make sure I'm not doing that. And so what I do is I have a lady who actually lives, she happened to live like 30 minutes away from me, but I found her on Upwork and she's been a phenomenal employee. And so I have her basically ready to go to manage the agency that we're working with. And then that agency, I mean, we could get a new employee in a week. And so right now our plan is if we buy our next property that we're buying, we're going to hire a full-time manager from them again, another one. And then we're going to have her take over kind of managing the manager. And then we already have all the systems set up. We have the website. We've got a new website that's ready to go. We have all of the property management software ready to go. We have like checklists for all the due diligence. We have everything. So pretty much from now on, it's all, I wouldn't say cruising, but a lot easier than it has been. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it sounds like you are following the whole who, not how motto to the T. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah.
Last step that we should talk about here is capital. You're buying deals. I don't know what the price point is. It sounds like they're on the smaller end, but you still need capital to buy them. I'm sure you don't have that in your pocket when you started. How you're raising it, who you're getting it from, and then talk about the syndications that you've done.
Yeah. So it used to be just private investors like friends and family. For these last three deals. And the reason why we could do a bigger deal this next one is that I am now able to do, I guess, public investment, you can call it. So people who are not just family and friends. So I've met with quite a few people. I have about $2 million of capital from public investors who are waiting to invest. So I had to say they had to hold off until we can get all the legal side figured out. And I just last week figured that out. So now we're good to go on that front. I think it's true that if you have an opportunity, the money will come to it. If you present the numbers to an investor and it makes sense, there's really no reason for them not to invest. Obviously, there's personal reasons and things like that. But if the numbers work, the numbers work. And that's kind of my motto here is I will give you a deal that will I always underestimate and over return what I can offer. So,
yeah, you do got to get the timing right, though, because a lot of people,
for sure.
Even if they're rich, their money is they're rich because they have their money invested. And so you have to hit them at the right time when that money is not in the market and in another syndication, something like that.
Yeah. And on that, I mean, a lot of people are scared of the stock market right now. The one competition I have is just treasuries offering 5%. But still, I think a lot of investors see the long term play. They see how in 5 years they get their money back. I mean, for that one Iowa deal we have a 200% return of capital in 5 years if we do four homes infilled a year. So they see stuff like that. And that's a conservative estimate. And so yeah, it's one of the real competitions of that.
Cool, man. Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up the main section. It's time to jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Perfect. Yeah.
Let's do it. Starts with education. Could be any form. Could be movies, books, whatever. Give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and then one for real estate.
Yeah, for real estate, Frank Rolfe, he's the owner of Impact Communities. Not sure if you know who he is, but he has a podcast. He has Mobile Home University. It's a great, I guess course, you would call it. And it's 3 days and it's fantastic. It's basically learning from one of the top two or three guys in the US for mobile home parks. So that's a huge advantage that I've had. And he gives you all of his documents. He gives you all of his resources. It's fantastic. And then personal side, I'd honestly say the Bible. I'm a Christian. I'm proud of that. I'm outward of that. And I think there's more than just spiritual stuff in the Bible. I think there's tons of life lessons. There's tons of ways that you could pull from it. And like, I guess financial stewardship is something that's taught in there. And there's just lots of life lessons that you could learn from there that just apply more to the spiritual side of it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not a Christian, but I do, yeah. Which one is it? Proverbs. I really like
Proverbs. Proverbs. Yep. I feel all like the parables. Really, yeah.
Little piece of advice. Wisdom in there.
For sure.
All right. Next question is for your younger self. Let's go back to the Caleb who was just starting out, just working as a property manager with just out of high school. Go back to him. Look him in the eye. Give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Yeah, I would say take the risk. I think there is a lot of hesitancy and you tend to overthink a lot of things and only think about the bad parts, which obviously you need to make sure you're not just thinking about the good parts. But I was pretty hesitant to leave the company I was at. When I had a stable job, I was making good money. I would show up to work at the same time every single day. And there was that sense of safety that you get. And so I would just recommend, like, nothing's ever really truly safe. So take the risk. If you know you want to do it, do it.
Yeah, that is great advice. And nothing really is ever safe, especially if you're employed by somebody else.
Yeah, so for sure.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Moves us to the next question. This is about the U.S. It's a big place, a lot of opportunity. Give me the single metro, the single city you're most excited about investing in today.
I would say the state of Iowa. I know it's not just a single city, but the state of Iowa, great rental laws. It's going in a great direction. It's getting more landlord friendly. It's higher home prices than a lot of the Midwest and South. Great rental demand. There's a lack of housing in a lot of those places. I'd say Iowa is where we want to concentrate these next five deals on if we could. But yeah, Iowa's fantastic.
Cool. Is there any specific area of Iowa or just like Des Moines or that's really the only
Des Moines city? Good. Cedar Rapids is good. I know we bought a park in Dubuque, Iowa, which is out on the east side, and that one is a great market. There's only like three parks in the town though, so if we could buy all three, that'd be great. But yeah, right now I only have one.
All right, next question is about finding the deal. It all starts with getting that park under contract and talking with the seller. So what's your favorite way to generate leads and find new deals?
Relationships with brokers. I always email them. I'll stay in contact with them. Even the ones that sell stuff to me, I'll be in contact with. I also have in the past called property management firms and asked if they manage any mobile home parks. If they do, I say, keep me on your list in case they want to sell. There's always ways to kind of get ahead of people right there. If you become persistent with the brokers, they'll call you first. They'll let you know about anything they have upcoming. They'll always tell you if they think something's going to come on the market. So that's kind of the leads I pursue.
Cool. I love it. I like that you mentioned property managers too, because they are a good source of deals because they're the ones who are on the front lines talking to those sellers. Mm-hmm. So
for sure.
All right. Next question is about lessons learned. Not every deal goes the way we expect it. A lot of time a wrench is thrown into the mix and, things go a little sideways, but that's where we get to learn our greatest lessons. So what was the deal that went a little sideways for you? And then what was the lesson you pulled from it?
Yeah, actually, this actually happened recently. I paid about $50,000 to a mobile home wholesaler to move in some mobile homes into my parks, and he pretty much ran off with it. And it was completely my fault. I was an idiot for that. He told me it was an escrow account, and I basically took it as his word that it was an escrow account. I don't know what I was thinking. We're still in the process of getting it back. I mean, I know where the guy lives. He's in Kansas. He's not a very bright guy, so it's not like he's going to get away from it. But I said trust and verify. Don't just, it was stupid, but
yeah. No, that's a lesson that You know, you just gotta learn that. That happens a lot with contractors. Not a lot, but it can definitely happen with contractors. If you give them too big of a draw, then you risk losing that draw. So, all right. That brings us to the last question. This is for the listeners. I'm sure people want to reach out, get in contact with you. It's a two-parter. Where can they find you? And then what can they expect when they reach out?
Yeah. So landingcapitalgroup.com is our website. It has my email and personal cell number on there. Also, my email was caleb@landingcapitalgroup.com. If you want to reach out, I'd be glad to do a one-on-one call, kind of explain to you what we do, how we invest, the return, stuff like that. Also, just answer any questions. If you want to learn about mobile home parks, I'll gladly answer any questions you have.
Perfect. I'll put that link in the show notes. If you guys want to reach out to Caleb, just click a little more in the description. It'll pull down that full description, and in there you can find his link.
Great.
All right, man. That wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thank you.
Absolutely. For everybody who's with us today, thank you guys for showing up. I just spilled my coffee all over my desk. Thank you guys for showing up, as always. We appreciate you coming on here. If you have any questions, reach out to me, Gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. If you want to support the show, just give us a like, subscribe, share. Other than that, I hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at Gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.